from 90.1 WFYI Public Radio. Welcome to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.
Hello and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Sharon Gamble. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buscelli Wallerap Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Travis DiNicola. Today I'll find out what's going on this fall at the Cabaret at the Columbia Club.
I'll have a preview of this year's Ann Katz Festival of Books and Arts.
And I'll talk with dance kaleidoscope dancer Liberty Harris about her upcoming retirement. Plus, there'll be that arts calendar we call
What Do We Do? All that and more right after the latest news from NPR. There's a lot going on this fall at the Cabaret at the Columbia Club, including Renee Marie's tribute to Eartha Kitt, I Wanna Be Evil, this weekend. Travis DiNicola spoke with the Cabaret's director, Shannon Forsell.
Shannon, welcome back to Art of the Matter. Always a pleasure.
I'm so glad to be here with you. Thank you.
So I am really excited about the concert that is going to be at Cabaret at the Columbia Club this weekend. Renee Marie.
Oh, my gosh.
Tell me about her.
Yeah. Renee Marie, we had a performer here recently, Susan Werner's her name. She's out of Chicago. And what she said to us, she said, you, when everyone sees Renee Marie, they are going to wonder what the heck just happened to them after the show because she is that powerful and she is that good. You know, she's known more in the jazz world. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of folks we have are Broadway people. But she is an iconic, powerful woman and probably one of the only people that can pull off doing a show of music from, you know, that's known by Eartha Kitt.
Eartha Kitt tribute show? I mean, does she do all Eartha Kitt? Does she do some other things too?
This show's called I Wanna Be Evil.
I love the title.
With love to Eartha Kitt. Mm-hmm. So this is one of, music of Eartha Kitt.
Okay.
And so it's in tribute to her. But of course, it's going to have a Renee Marie spin.
Yeah.
So you never know what's going to happen with that. So it's really going to be fantastic. You know, songs we know like Peel Me a Grape and Saucy Bone, I Want to Be Evil, those kinds of things.
Saucy songs.
Very saucy and sassy. So if you like a sassy night, this is the night.
So where's Renee Marie from? Is she French? Is she from New York? Is she?
She's American. So she's, you know, I think she's based out of New York.
Yeah.
And but she travels all over the world.
Sure.
And is just very, very well known. And like a lot of jazz, is much more well known in Europe than America. That's kind of how we are here.
And this is the first time you've had her at the Cabaret.
This is the first time. Yes, she's been at the Jazz Kitchen. I think maybe a few years ago.
Okay.
It's been a little while since she's been back here, and she's been touring. And this is her 10th album.
Wow.
So it's really a brand new album this year, and it's gotten amazing accolades. So it's really something to see. But I think she's one that you really need to see live, even more than if you listen to her, it's fantastic. But to see her is amazing.
So we're airing the show both on Thursday night and Saturday morning. The performances take place Friday night and Saturday night at the Cabaret. Tell us about that experience for people who may not have been in the Cabaret before, how they get tickets, what's involved. It's at the Columbia Club. It is open to the public. You don't have to be a member, all that sort of stuff.
Right. That's the most important part. Yeah, lots of people get confused by that. So we are located in the Columbia Club, open to the public. So you could get tickets on our website, thecabaret.org, or if you just do a search for the Cabaret or the Cabaret at the Columbia Club, all that'll come up.
Cool.
Our box office is 275-1169, and you can call. We don't have physical tickets, so you can call. You don't have to come to the box office to pick those up. And for folks that haven't been there before, we're on the third floor of the Columbia Club overlooking Monument Circle. It's a
beautiful, really fantastic
room. And you can have dinner beforehand. You can have just drinks or appetizers and desserts. It's a very wonderful night out. You sit at tables and chairs with the folks you've come with as opposed to sort of in a line like at a theater. And so it's kind of a cross between a nightclub and a theater experience.
Okay. Is there, do you have to make special reservations for dinner? Is there like a drink minimum, stuff like that?
Yeah, there's a $12 minimum. Mm-hmm. And you can use that on any, you know, food or beverage of any kind. If you want to have dinner, yes, you should make a reservation because we fill up for dinner pretty quickly. You don't have to make a reservation for the appetizers and desserts part and for just to have drinks.
Very good.
Yeah, and so doors open 2 hours before the show. So folks can come, unwind, have a martini, and do all that good stuff to get ready.
Nice. And it is such a great space there.
Oh, my gosh. It's so beautiful.
Beautiful room and great window looking out over the circle and very, very funky. It's just a very elegant, classy vibe that you guys have.
It's a very approachable, too, though, we hope. So, you know, folks don't have to feel like it's a stuffy evening.
No.
It'll be fun and saucy and sassy, but also a really cool, swanky night out.
A great date night.
A great date night.
Yeah. So things are going well at the Cabaret. I mean, you've been at the Columbia Club now four years.
This is our fifth year anniversary. It's hard to believe that we've been around that long now. And so we're celebrating that we're in our fifth year at the Cabaret, and we just couldn't be more pleased that people have just been so supportive of us and
well,
we're thrilled.
It seems like, I mean, every year I see not just more concerts and really, you know, sort of well-known names and high-profile performers that are coming in, and as you mentioned, a lot of Broadway performers as well as jazz performers, but you're doing a lot of outreach, too, in the community, a lot of education projects I've been aware of. That seems really cool. I mean, you seem to continue to be growing.
Yeah, and that's a really good point, because I do think there's a slot or two left. Like Renee Marie, for instance, when she's here on Saturday in the daytime from 1 to 3, does a master class. So a lot of the stars that we have come do a public master class. You have to sign up to perform for them, but anyone can watch the classes. They are amazing because, you know, Indianapolis, unlike New York, doesn't have, you know, Broadway and jazz stars just like walking around so they can come in and teach a class and, you know, and be mentoring folks all over the city. So these folks are very gracious, and they work with our aspiring performers while they're here in town, and it's really, really wonderful to see. So
who's coming to those classes? I mean, is kids, younger adults, aspiring performers?
It's high school age through adult that come to the classes. So age 16 and up.
Yeah.
Folks that really have an interest in perfecting their skills. I mean, they're not going to teach you to sing in these classes.
Yeah.
They're teaching you how to take a song from good to awesome. And so you get some one-on-one time with the performer on performance coaching. So a lot of times the student will sing the song.
Yeah.
They'll get 10 to 15 minutes with the performer just working directly with them. And then they'll sing it again, and the transformation is amazing.
Do you get a lot of regulars that are doing that?
We do.
You know, I'm thinking like in terms of like, you know, high school kids that are looking at music as a career and stuff.
And college. And,
we
have some great educational partnerships with the musical theater program at Ball State University.
Nice, yeah.
And in fact, they have a cabaret class on their curriculum now.
Wow.
In which we've worked with them on those classes. They have two, actually. And it's really great. And their classes and their final, so to speak, is a cabaret at the Cabaret.
Wow.
So it's really cool. Yeah. So
that's
we're hope we're creating like the next generation of cabaret performers.
Yeah. And audiences too, of course.
Absolutely.
But yeah, definitely performers.
Absolutely.
Now, I know you've got a big fundraiser that's actually kind of sold out, so that's great.
You
got to love that. And I know you're thinking about the holiday show already. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah, the holiday show. You know, in fact, folks should really get their tickets soon if they want to come to the holiday show, because it is almost sold out. It's hard to believe that it's sold out this soon. But our holiday show is a trio. It is actually the show that's the holiday show at Birdland every year.
Wow.
And they're bringing it to Indianapolis. So it's a swinging Christmas. And it's with Jim Caruso, Billy Stritch, and Clea Blackhurst, and they're regulars, and so it should be a really swinging holiday, a great martini kind of Christmas.
Oh, fun. Yeah. That's cool. A couple performances of that, or only just
there
one?
There are four performances of that. So it's December 10th through the 13th, I think.
So not too early at all, it sounds like, to get tickets for that.
No, absolutely. If you want to get tickets, call the Cabaret or get on the website at thecabaret.org and get your seats, because there's not very many seats left, actually.
No, I know you've not announced your upcoming season for 2015, but can you give us a hint
as far as what we might
be expecting? Yeah.
Yes, we are really excited about the season, which actually officially kicks off in January.
Okay.
So we've got a major Broadway star coming at the end of in January. It's a female who's probably been in 10 plus Broadway shows under the age of 40. So she's going to be fantastic.
Hmm.
We have a fantastic group of hipsters that are coming in February that are the number one performing act at Joe's Pub in, you know, a really big cabaret in New York City. And they made their mark by getting their start playing in subways.
Cool.
Yeah, they're really, really cool. And we have another Broadway star who's Iranian born, but fought the French in London and in New York. That's the
I'm loving these hints.
And we've got a bad girl of cabaret coming. So a really diverse season. And then we've got, well, I guess that's kind of
okay.
Those are the biggies
stuff.
Right now.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, we will definitely keep looking for more information. And I'm sure everyone right now is thinking, wait a second. Oh, I think I know who that is. But
right.
Anyway, yeah. So it sounds like a great season. It sounds like you're also really finding a good, strong audience for cabaret here in Indianapolis.
We are. We're so excited. Yeah. And there are other places that are now starting to ask us to bring cabaret to them. For instance, Columbus, Indiana. We helped a cabaret in Detroit get started.
Nice.
And so we're hoping just more and more cabaret comes to the Midwest so you don't have to go to New York to see it.
Shannon, always a pleasure to see you, and I'm looking forward to seeing Renee Marie at the cabaret this weekend.
Thank you so much.
Travis DiNicola with Shannon Forsell, director of the cabaret at the Columbia Club. Hear Renee Marie's tribute to Eartha Kitt, I Wanna Be Evil, this weekend at the cabaret, Friday at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 7 p.m. For more information, visit thecabaret.org. Again, thecabaret.org. You're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio.
The 16th annual Ann Katz Festival of Books and Arts has something for just about everyone, as Sharon Gamble learned during a recent chat with the JCC's Director of Arts and Education.
So the Ann Katz Festival started out as a festival of books, but it's expanded considerably in the last few years to all kinds of other arts, right?
Absolutely. We've got visual art, we've got dance, we've got music, and of course the basis is literary art.
Mm-hmm. And remind us how this started?
This started 16 years ago.
Wow.
And it actually started kind of as a book sale, and then it moved into us bringing authors on board. Not long after that, we got the support of Irv Katz. That's why it's called the Ann Katz Festival of Books and Arts. And it's just continued to grow.
And is there, in choosing the participants, what's kind of your overarching theme, or what are you trying to do?
You know, we get to hear and speak with a great number of authors, over 200. And I think, first of all, we're looking for topics that we think would interest people,
mm-hmm.
topics that we feel are meaningful, especially socially meaningful. And then we're looking for good books. So kind of that combination.
And talk to me about the we. Whose help do you get in organizing this?
Well, the biggest help is my program coordinator, Lisa Freeman. And she really does so much of the nuts and bolts work. And we are, you know, I couldn't do it without her. We're partners on this.
It's good. Good to have a complimentary soul helping you. You're also part of the Spirit and Place Festival.
Yes, we are. This is going to be a lot of fun. We are partnering with Dance Kaleidoscope, Indiana Writers Workshop, and the Rubin Center, which is a senior center, to put on something called Life Dances.
Ooh.
Yeah, the Indiana Writers Workshop got together with a group of seniors and helped them write their memoirs, and just amazing stories. And then from those memoirs, 12 were chosen by Dance Kaleidoscope, and they will be turned into dance at our program. We will have somebody actually read the story, the memoirs. It
mm-hmm.
may be the seniors or it may be somebody else. And at the same time, Dance Kaleidoscope will be interpreting those and just making beautiful artwork out of it. It's been a wonderful partnership.
That sounds really moving and lovely.
Yeah, and that's on November 9th at 2 o'clock. And it's, as with all these, it's open to everyone. This particular one will also be free because we've had some wonderful sponsorships that have helped us do that.
Thank you, sponsors.
Yes.
You're partnering, you always do wonderful partnerships, but I'm intrigued that you're also partnering with the Phoenix Theater for the first time this year.
Yes, and this is going to be great fun. The timing couldn't be better. The Phoenix Theater is going to be showing or performing Old Jews Telling Jokes, which is an off-Broadway show that's just been successful all around the country. And we are very fortunate to be partnering with them for them to actually be doing a performance, to actually have them do a performance.
You've been very busy putting this together. No worries.
Thank you. As part of the Festival of Books and Arts, and that will be on Saturday, November 11th. So it will actually, you know, they'll bring their sets, they'll bring, you know, their sound person, and it will be an actual Phoenix performance at the JCC.
Fun, Phoenix on the road. And I love the description. If you've ever had a mother, visited a doctor, or walked into a bar with a priest, a rabbi, and a frog, this is your kind of show. I can't wait to hear the punchline to that one.
Yeah.
I'm really intrigued, speaking of partnerships, by the Indiana Humanities partnership, the Jewish-German Dialogue Project. What is this? Tell us about this one.
This actually started from a group that I've been involved with for quite a while called The Circle, Jews, Germans, and Hoosiers in Conversation.
Hmm.
We've done several things, but this one involves two Germans, one Jewish and one non-Jewish. The Jewish German is Karin Baldner, who is a associate professor at Heron School of Art, and the German who is not Jewish is Bjorn Krondorfer, who actually is the director of the Martin Springer Institute of Religious Studies in Arizona. Together, over the years, through meaningful conversations, they've really, I think, hit base rock on, you know, what makes people tick and how two Germans today can come together over the concept of the Holocaust. And through Karin, they've developed beautiful artwork that kind of shows this. So this will be up during the entire festival, but on October 29th will be our opening reception. We'll have food, we'll have drinks, and then Bjorn and Karin will do a presentation talking about their experiences and what they've learned from each other.
Wow, that's so intriguing.
Yeah, yeah, I'm very much looking forward to that.
Yeah. So there are films as well. Mm-hmm. You always choose some unusual films.
Yeah, we've got kind of across the gamut. We have our Taste of AnCats Festival of Books and Arts, which is October 18th, about 10 days before the festival actually starts. And that's a film called Run, Boy, Run, a very well-produced, beautiful film about a preteen who literally has to run for his life throughout Eastern Europe during World War II, and very moving. Then we move on to much lighter fare, which is, we actually have two films. One of them is called
The Pope's Last Crusade?
No, The Sturgeon Queens.
Oh, sorry.
We have The Sturgeon Queens and then a short film called 70 Hester Street. And they're both about immigration, Jewish immigration to the United States. And The Sturgeon Queens is about an absolutely amazing restaurant in the Lower East Side of New York that has the best fish in the world. But the experience is one of those warm, exciting New York experiences. And it goes back 100 years. And this is just kind of a fun, warm film about how this was created. And you get just a real sense of the whole experience.
Sure.
And it's a wonderful thing. And then we have a short 10-minute film about 70 Hester Street, which is about pretty much about the director's experiences as an immigrant and a new American. And then finally, we close out, as we always do, with our Heartland award-winning shorts. And, of course, we don't know what the shorts are yet because Heartland is just about to start.
Sure.
But the award-winning shorts from this year will be shown on November 15th, which will be the end. And all of these films are presented by Fifth Third Bank. We're very fortunate to have their support on this.
Speaking of partnerships, yet again, you're partnering with Second Helpings for a presentation that sounds absolutely hilarious. Alan Salkin, who's written from scratch the uncensored history of the Food Network, and he has the scoop, right? He's got these personalities.
He knows these people, and he's got the history of the Food Network. He knows the inner workings, of all of these famous people. I know that so many people watch the Food Network. I mean, foodie probably wasn't a term before the Food Network started. And it is a fun book about what's really going on behind it all. And we love partnering with Second Helpings, a wonderful organization. And so if you bring 5 cans of tomato products, you get in free. So it helps. It helps a lot of people.
Sure.
And it'll help whoever comes in because they'll have a wonderful time. And we're fortunate this is presented by Israel Bonds.
And you'll find out if Martha Stewart really is mean and if Julia Child really did love McDonald's French fries, which,
that's
gee,
right.
I mean, you know, you got to find that stuff out.
Oh, yeah.
The Pope's Last Crusade is a history, right?
It's a history, but it's written in a very interesting, almost novelistic way.
Okay.
And this kind of ties in with several things that we're doing that are kind of bridge building. Now, the fact is that this has to do with World War II and the Pope. Most people in the know think of Pope Pius XII, who was the Pope during World War II, who unfortunately is known for kind of turning a blind eye.
Hmm.
What people don't know is his predecessor, Pope Pius XI, was in the process of drawing up a very powerful statement that was anti-fascism, anti-Nazism.
Really?
And he did that with the help of an American Jesuit. Unfortunately, he died before this could really go into action. Possibly could
have changed. History might have been completely different.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a powerful what if right there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm also intrigued by The Inevitable City, The Resurgence of New Orleans, and The Future of Urban America, speaking of things that are regrettable that have happened in our history.
Yes, but regrettable and also things that are inspiring. I was fortunate to hear Scott Cowan, who up till the end of this semester was the president of Tulane University in New Orleans, and he is one of the most inspirational speakers I've ever heard. And he was very involved not only in rebuilding his own university after Katrina, and this was a university with a long history, and they weren't sure if it was even going to reopen, but then he moved on to become absolutely key in rebuilding New Orleans and rebuilding their education system. And there's been a lot of vibrancy and a great turnaround in New Orleans. It's because of, you know, things that Scott and other people who partnered with him did. So it's going to be a very moving program, and it's something I recommend to anybody interested in community building here in Indianapolis.
Now, most of what we've talked about so far is not particularly appropriate for children, but you do have something for little people.
Sure. We've got Story Time with Bubby and Zadie. And recently somebody said to me, how can Bubby and Zadie come all the time? Because we've done this for 3 or 4 years. Bubby and Zadie are not names. It means grandma and grandpa.
Yeah.
So this is an intergenerational program where we bring young children, preschoolers around that age, in. They get together with some of the seniors, and we have the reading of a book. Everybody has lunch together. We have some of the book is Rabbi Sandy Sasso's book that she wrote called The Shema and the Menorah, and she'll be reading it. Several rabbis will play guitar, and we'll also have art projects. So it's just going to be a fun afternoon for really the whole family, anybody who would like to come. And this is also free, so it's certainly open to everybody.
Say, is it possible for people, some people may not be that familiar with the JCC, is it possible for people to take tours when they come out for these events?
We would love to have them take tours. You know, we have a wonderful facility. We're very, very proud of it. And if we can't give a tour right there on the spot, we're very happy to arrange that.
Sharon Gamble with the JCC's Director of Arts and Education, Lev Rothenberg. The Ann Katz Festival of Books and Arts runs Tuesday, October 28th to Saturday, November 15th. In addition to the highlights you just heard about, Indianapolis native and best-selling crime fiction writer Hank Felipe Ryan will make a special appearance at the festival. You can learn more at jccindy.org, again, jccindy.org, or check out Eventbrite and look up JCC Indy.
Hey, Travis.
Yes, Sharon.
The first thing on the calendar today is call WFYI and renew your membership.
That's so true. That's so true. It's a good time to do that.
Indeed. Or go to WFYI.org. And you can do it while you listen to our calendar, which we call
What do we do? But if you need that number, 1-800-233-0020.
Indeed.
Yes.
Safe, secure, easy, fun.
That's right.
And tell
and
the volunteers
really
how much
like
you love the Art of the Matter.
When you call in during Art of the Matter.
Indeed.
And you let them know how much you like it, because we've been on the air now for, what,
15 years,
Sharon?
Plus.
And it's because of listeners calling in and saying, we really like this show. We like local arts programming on the radio.
And we've done
long
it.
Long format art interviews.
Indeed.
And no one else does it. And if you want that type of programming, then call in and let them know.
Absolutely. We love that. And
that's right.
We've done it without bobbleheads for 15 years, but... You know.
Someday, maybe for our 20th anniversary.
There you go.
Bobbleheads.
Anyway, there's lots more cool stuff going on as well. What do you have?
Well, let's see. You know what? TEDx is coming up.
Indeed.
Yes. Next week on the 21st, it's TEDx Indianapolis. And 17 speakers are going to be taking the stage at the Hilbert Circle Theater to share their big ideas on how Indianapolis can get outside in. Right? Get outside Indiana. There you go. So 9 local speakers are then be joined by educators, engineers, artists, activists from all across the country for this one-day event that's looking at technology and entrepreneurship and education and art and design in the city. And event registration begins at 8 a.m. that day. And again, it is on October 21st. And there are going to be a lot of really cool speakers that are going to be talking about great stuff all day. And if you've ever like seen TEDx, or you've heard it on the radio, or you've seen videos of it, you know there's sort of short speeches and a limited amount of slides and pretty darn inspiring. So it should be a lot of fun, worth checking out this year. You can get more information at TEDxIndianapolis.com. Again, TEDxIndianapolis.com to register and get your tickets. You can get lunch with that if you want as well as part of the ticket price, and lots of other great stuff.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, if you, well, you know, we are getting perilously close to that cluster of holidays at the end of October and the beginning of November. So I bet some of them, some of those activities start creeping onto our calendar, including this. You might be familiar with the Rocky Horror Picture Show, but here is your chance to experience the original stage show.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah, from the team that brought you Nuvo's Best of Indie number one pick for Best Locally Produced Play, the live musical The Rocky Horror Show will be on stage at the Athenaeum Theater October 23rd through November 1st. Innocent Brad and Janet find themselves seeking shelter at a mysterious old castle on a, of course, a dark and stormy night.
Sharon, let's do the time warp again.
I love it. More information at RockyHorrorIndie.com, RockyHorrorIndie.com. Until you've seen the original show, you haven't experienced Rocky Horror.
Can we still bring, like, rolls of toilet paper and
you
stuff?
Can.
Okay.
You can. Costumes are, in fact, encouraged, and you, if you know all the lines and are familiar with the synchronized participation, yes, of course you can do that.
Oh. It sounds really fun. Where is that again?
It's at the Athenaeum.
I'm going. Okay, so shifting gears dramatically here from the
wait,
Rocky Horror Show.
I can't wait.
Well, though the title may suggest something different. Gasland. It's Hoosier Environmental Council is going to host Gasland director Josh Fox on October 25th. He's an Emmy Award-winning filmmaker, and he is headlining the annual Environmental Forum. It's the Hoosier Environmental Council. It's their largest gathering of environmental advocates, and it's their seventh annual Greening the State House. And it's going to be taking place on Saturday, October 25th, from 8:30 to 11:30 a.m. at the IMAX at the Indiana State Museum. And so Josh Fox, Emmy Award-winning, Academy Award-nominated, Gasland, and its recently released sequel, Gasland 2, are films about about domestic natural gas drilling and the largest boom we've had in that in history. And so this is a little bit more serious, but it should be really interesting, especially having Josh Fox give the keynote speech as well. You can get more information about this at the Hoosier Environmental Council's website, and you can register for that and get tickets and attend HECweb.org. Again, HECweb.org. There's going to be lots of different workshops and discussions part of it as well for Greening the State House.
Why do I feel like channeling a PBS Kids program and a little song? One of these things is not like the other.
Yeah, I know. I'm just waiting for like people in Rocky Horror Show outfits to show up at Gasland.
Stranger things have happened. Mm-hmm. Hey, The War of the Worlds will be produced on stage as though it were the original radio production at the Indiana History Center on October 30th. The panic may have been exaggerated by historians, but that shouldn't lessen the fun of this recreation of the famed radio broadcast by Orson Welles and company. By the way, if you're in the audience, costumes are encouraged but not required. The event also includes lessons in thriller zombie dancing.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
So what can you say? I also learned, and you'll hear about this soon on The Art of the Matter, that, you know, you may have heard that Orson Welles got in a lot of trouble because there was mass panic because people believed this was really happening. Apparently, there was a concerted effort on the part of print journalists to try to discredit that newfangled medium of radio. And not all those stories were
newfangled
radio. There we go.
With something else kind of creepy, well, it's the creepiest show on earth. It's the Creepy Carnival taking place at the Children's Museum. It is their Halloween haunted house that it's the Children's Museum Guild's 51st annual haunted house. Yeah, and it is going now through October 31st. You can get all sorts of more information about the sort of creepier version and the more children-friendly version, depending on how old your kids are, at thechildrensmuseum.org/haunted house. And get the full schedule of the events, but it should be a lot of fun. So step right up, because Barker Bones is the ringmaster and will lead you through the creepy carnival.
Ooh. Hey, this next event is not creepy unless you're scared of sharp knives.
Wow.
Alton Brown Live, The Edible Inevitable Tour, November 2nd at Clues Hall. You know those guys who try to sell you cutlery at the Indiana State Fair? Imagine such demonstrations on a grand scale. Show promoters of Alton Brown Live, The Edible Inevitable Tour, promise that things will get messy and there will be volunteers selected from the audience. So wear something that you don't have to dry clean. I'm just saying.
There you go.
Clues Hall, November 2nd.
Okay, last thing I got, Sharon, since I've been kind of mixing some strange combinations here.
I can't wait.
Two of my favorite musicals are going to be taking place over the next couple weeks.
Yeah.
One is at University of Indianapolis. One is at Beef and Boards. Beef and Boards is doing Fiddler on the Roof, and University of Indianapolis is doing Urinetown. So, you know, great musicals, great theater, worth checking out. Fiddler on the Roof and Urinetown.
You must pay to play your violin on the roof.
If they would combine them, that would be so interesting. Well, if maybe you're a little bit more traditional, go check out Beef and Boards for the 50th anniversary of Fiddler on the Roof. Again, it is one of my favorite shows. And Urinetown, which is just hysterical, is opening at UIndy's Randsburg Auditorium on October 17th.
Well, you know,
both are Tony Award winning musicals.
Just saying. And it's a free country. You can go see both. Mm-hmm. In fact, I double dog dare you.
There you go. Also, want to give a shout out to DJ Kyle Long, who also hosts a show on WFYI To The Point, because his Cultural Cannibals is presenting a Sudanese music group, the Otak Band, on Friday the 17th at the Jazz Kitchen up in Broad Ripple. And this is going to bring an exciting East African dance party to Indy. It's going to be a lot of fun. And DJ Kyle Long's going to be spinning a lot of African dance grooves through the night as well. Should be a ton of fun. Hey, and finally, we need to give a big shout out. Huge shout out to Anila Aga. She is a local artist, also a professor at Heron, and just won, if you've not heard this, just won both the People's Choice and split the winnings for the Jurors Award for the Art Prize. And if you're not familiar with the Art Prize, it's been going on for a number of years up in Grand Rapids, Michigan. It is the largest single prize given to artists anywhere in the world. I was up there last weekend and saw Anila's piece. It was absolutely incredible. It was at the Grand Rapids Art Museum. It's a piece titled Intersection, and it is a huge cube that was laser cut. It took her about 15 months to create, and it's lit from the inside, and it creates these amazing shadows in the installation space she had at the Grand Rapids Art Museum. What's really amazing about this is it's the first time that a piece for Art Prize has won both the popular vote and the Jurors Award. And so that is pretty fantastic. We are so proud of Anila for the work that she did and for winning Art Prize. What's the last thing you got there, Sharon?
Well, you can learn more about local arts events at indiearts.org/guide. The Arts Council of Indianapolis's Indie Arts Guide. And I can guarantee you that next week we'll have even more. Do your creepy voice. Scary events on that calendar we call.
What do we do?
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on wfyi.org.
Dance Kaleidoscope dancer Liberty Harris has announced her retirement after 15 seasons with DK. Carmina Burana, being performed at the IRT later this month, will be her final performances as a dancer. Travis DiNicola spoke with Libby about her career and what's next.
Libby, welcome to Art of the Matter. It's great to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And congratulations on 15 years. That's pretty spectacular.
Yeah, thank you. It is an impressive career.
Yeah, I mean, that's 15 years is a great career for any dancer, but to be with the same company for 15 years.
Exactly.
That's kind of extraordinary.
Yeah, I think it is a little unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
Very proud of it.
So I want to talk about sort of, you know, why you've stayed with Dance Kaleidoscope for so long and how that's worked out. But before we get into all that, how did you end up at Dance Kaleidoscope in the first place?
I was in my freshman year at Butler University back mm-hmm. in 1997, and David was putting together his second production of Carmina Burana, and he needed extra dancers, so he came to Butler to audition, and he chose me. So that was my first experience with Dance Kaleidoscope, was Carmina Burana, 17 years ago.
Wow.
And it was definitely an amazing one.
Well, and Dance Kaleidoscope's always had a great relationship with Butler and a lot of cross-pollination there. Cynthia Pratt, of course, mm-hmm. Who's in the dance department there, has choreographed a lot for
multiple times.
Dance Kaleidoscope. I'm sure she was one of your teachers.
Mm-hmm, she was.
So that had to be a pretty big deal for you as a college student.
Very exciting. It was huge, yes, to get my first professional gig at a young age. It was definitely the best one to break you into the world of mm-hmm. dance.
So you went right out of college into DK then?
Actually, after that production of Carmina, mm-hmm. I went to Charleston, South Carolina, and I danced with the ballet company there for 2 years and realized that I actually wanted to be a modern dancer. So I called David Hochoy up and I said, hey, you have any openings? And he said, well, come on back. And as soon as we have one, I'd love to hire you. So January of 2000 is when I joined the company.
Officially then.
Yeah, as a full-time member. And I've been with them ever since.
That can be kind of a tough decision for a dancer, too, which direction to go, ballet or modern.
Yeah, it can be. But honestly, for me, mm-hmm. it was pretty easy. I enjoyed my time in the ballet world, but it wasn't a struggle. I realized that I think because I had the opportunity to work with David and mm-hmm. experience modern dance through Carmina Burana, I knew it was exactly what I wanted to do.
Yeah. So you chose to come back. I mean, you asked David to take you back.
Mm-hmm.
What is it, I mean, that you saw about Dance Kaleidoscope as being different, or what pulled you in? I mean, obviously it was the chance to work with David Hochoy, but more
Absolutely.
Than that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I grew up here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the fact that I could be home near my family was
yeah.
definitely a draw. But I did, I really enjoyed my time working with David. And the second that I was hired as a full-time company member and I began to see how every concert is different. It's mm-hmm. His rep is very versatile. So it's very fulfilling, from one piece to the next where we're going through different emotions, dancing in a different genre. It's about as much as you can ask for as a modern dancer.
You know, David's done a lot of fun things over the years. I mean, certainly Carmina Burana is this great classic piece, mm-hmm. but whether it's setting choreography to Cole Porter or mm-hmm. to country music mm-hmm. or, you know, I mean, all these different styles.
Exactly.
I mean, certainly has got to be a great challenge for a dancer.
Well, you know, I guess I never really looked at it as a challenge. Mm-hmm. I looked at it as a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that side of it, that one concert we're doing something very classical, and then the next is a pop show that mm-hmm. is anywhere from country music to Elvis Presley. We've covered a lot of them
yeah.
so far.
So looking back, what have been some highlights for you? I mean, obviously, Carmina Burana holds a place in your heart.
It
but,
does, yeah. Definitely Carmina Burana is my all-time favorite,
yeah.
Has never wavered. It was the first one I did. This will be my sixth time dancing this piece, and it never loses appeal. If anything, mm-hmm. I fall more and more in love with it. And I do have a handful of highlights and favorites. I would
yeah.
say Scheherazade mm-hmm. is a production similar to Carmina in that it is a full-length work. Mm-hmm. Most of our concerts are different pieces that we do, so very rarely.
Maybe thematically organized, but
exactly.
A number
but
of different
yeah,
pieces,
there
yeah.
will be two to three different pieces on one show. But so these two have in common that it's there's a through line from beginning to end. And Scheherazade is beautiful music, and you know, the fact that he allowed me to play the title mm-hmm. character was pretty spectacular. Magical Mystery Tour.
Oh, yeah, the
definitely,
Beatles piece.
Mm-hmm. Definitely top of the list. Who doesn't want to go to work and dance to the Beatles all day long? And the costumes, the choreography, it's another one of those gems that came together perfectly. He created a piece that is called Iconoglass. Mm-hmm. It's Philip Glass music, and it's not a story. It was David's brilliant work of just pushing the dancers physically, you know, just how fast can we go, how high can we jump, how daring can we be, and that's a staple favorite of all time for sure.
What about dancers you've worked with? I mean, I've seen you do some beautiful duets and mm-hmm. some solos and, mm-hmm. you know, in large groups, and, you know, they all bring different challenges mm-hmm. and excitement to them, but I'm sure I know there's a lot of great dancers with DK.
Yeah, but I think one of the reasons that I have stayed with Dance Kaleidoscope for so long, for 15 years, is not only because I love David Hochoy and his work, but over the years, I genuinely can tell you that I have loved, like a family member, every mm-hmm. dancer I've ever shared the studio and the stage with. It's a very special place. Yeah, I've had lots of magical relationships, you know, that start within the studio and mm-hmm. evolve to the stage and sometimes evolve over decades. I've been very lucky.
So this had to be a hard decision to decide to retire as a dancer. Now, I know you're going to continue on working with DK, but your dancing is ending with Carmina Burana.
It's true. Yeah, I will stay with Dance Kaleidoscope, mm-hmm. but I will no longer be on stage. And the truth is, it really wasn't that hard of a decision. Back in January, I overheard David telling another dancer that Carmina Burana would be on the season this year. Mm-hmm. And the second I heard that, I knew that's it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I've always wanted to say goodbye with this piece. Mm-hmm. And I feel very fulfilled. I've had a very long, fulfilling, rewarding career. And just like a professional athlete, the body,
physically,
it does age. Yeah.
It's
and
tough.
And I think a part of me, I'm ready to watch my peers, my best friends, my favorite mm-hmm. dancers. I'm ready to see new doors open for them and allow them to have new opportunities. That's actually exciting for me. And it's definitely going to be a much easier transition. Thanks to the Lilly Endowment, we received a grant. Mm-hmm. So I will be the rehearsal director and education coordinator for
the
company.
Terrific.
I'm very, very excited. So I'll just be wearing a new hat, mm-hmm. but I don't have to leave my family.
Yeah. It's still going to be strange, I'm sure, the first time that there's a concert and you're watching from the wings.
I'm sure it will be. Yeah. Change is never easy, but the only constant is change, so.
And it's really nice, though, that you've been able to plan for this and have this transition.
That's also
unusual.
Yeah, it has. It's been a lovely grace period the mm-hmm. last 6-7 months to mentally be able to prepare that this is coming. And, I do feel ready. I feel excited for the future. I'm aware that there will be some difficult moments, but.
Well, you have a lot of fans, of Dance Kaleidoscope, love seeing you dance and are certainly going to miss you very much. Mm. Have you thought about doing any choreography yourself?
I am not very drawn to that aspect of it. I am a dance teacher mm-hmm. In local studios, and part of that job is to choreograph for my students. And I find that I can do it, but it doesn't feel like a calling. Mm-hmm. I don't feel passionate about it. So I feel, well, let those that mm-hmm. have a heart for that go at it. I enjoy the side of being rehearsal director. Mm-hmm. I like being an assistant, a second eye to that person.
So what's the biggest change for you that you anticipate happening once you leave the stage? I mean, is it going to allow you to eat a few extra cookies, get up a little bit later?
Probably not. I really don't see the big picture of my life changing mm-hmm. very much. I will still work the same hours with Dance Kaleidoscope. I will share my time between the studio with David and in the offices working as the education coordinator, which I'm excited about that. I will still be a dance teacher at the mm-hmm. same studios. I'm also a waitress at a restaurant on the mm-hmm. weekends. I have no intention of leaving that. I intend to take company class every day.
Yeah.
Just because I'm not on stage doesn't mean I'm not still a dancer.
Mm-hmm.
David has been a great example of that. I will be a dancer for the rest of my life.
That's a great way to look at it. That's awesome. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
So before I let you go, Carmina Burana is coming up. I know a lot of people want to come see you. It's being performed at the IRT. For people who haven't seen it before or don't know the work, what should mm-hmm. they look for?
First of all, the music is so powerful. It's almost overwhelming from beginning to end. The music is just amazing. Worth coming to just hear the music alone. But I think it's David Ho Choi's masterpiece of all time because he created a ballet that matches this music, the range of emotions from beginning to end. It's fulfilling for the dancers, which I have to believe makes it fulfilling for audience members as well.
And when you say ballet, I mean, it's still a modern dance
piece,
but there's a story there.
Well, actually, this Carmina Burana isn't too much of a literal story. I like to look at it as it's about a community of people that are exploring the light side of life and the dark side of life together. And so there are relationships within the... I call it a ballet because it is a through work. It is all connected.
Excellent. Well, a great one for you to go out on, since it was a great one for you to start with.
Yes, it is full circle.
Liberty, congratulations on a great career with Dance Kaleidoscope, and looking forward to see what you do next.
Thank you so much.
Travis DiNicola with Dance Kaleidoscope dancer Liberty Harris. Tickets to see Liberty Harris in the October 23rd through 26th performances of Carmina Burana at IRT are available at 317-635-5252. Again, 317-635-5252 or irtlive.com, irtlive.com.
Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Bocelli Wallrap Jazz Orchestra, from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter next week, Thursday at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 7 a.m. I'll find out what the Indiana Historical Society has programmed at its History Center this fall.
I'll chat with some poets who are creating work for the Eskenazi Hospital.
And I'll get a preview of Bosma Enterprises' Art on Music program, and we'll have that arts calendar we call...
What do we do? So please listen next weekend to The Art of the Matter here on 90.1 WFYI Public Radio.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Central Indiana and Indianapolis. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's show was edited by Melissa Davis and produced by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.